Diego, Los Angeles, Santa Barbara. We'll be in Tempe, Arizona. We'll be in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And finally, on May 20th, in Houston, Texas. And by the way, you can check all the tour at democracynow.org. We're accepting applications for a full-time one-year video production fellow and also accepting applications for our six-month internships. Go to democracynow.org for details. And that does it for our show. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gaddis, Diener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Honey Massoud. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 7:59, and coming up next is the Joe and Abe Talk Radio Show.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of African Roots, celebrating the roots of jazz and Brazilian music, Wednesday and Thursday, May 10th and 11th at 8 p.m. at the historic Mission Theater in Portland. This all-ages two-day event features the Devin Phillips Quartet, American Music Program, Pop Goji, Wamba, Mike Crenshaw, LaRonda Steele, and more. Again, that's African Roots, celebrating the roots of jazz and Brazilian music, Wednesday and Thursday, May 10th and 11th at 8 p.m. at the Historic Mission Theater, 1624 Northwest Gleason Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to host Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco on Saturday, May 27th at 2 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Journalist Chris Hedges and award-winning cartoonist Joe Sacco wrote the best-selling book, Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt, together. Their talk includes a discussion about sacrifice zones, areas in America that have been offered up for exploitation in the name of profit, progress, and technological advancement. Again, that's Chris Hedges and Joe Sacco, Saturday, May 27th at 2 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Got a bad case of loving you, Joe.
Oh, sweetie, I just knew it all the time.
Oh, sugar.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program.
This is Love Fest Day.
I know. I thought it was 1987 again there for a second. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial or on the internet tubes, kboo.fm. I'm Abe Proctor.
I'm Joe Uris, I think.
Yeah, I think you're still Joe Uris.
I don't know, man.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Be that as it may.
Maybe I'm Donald Trump.
Maybe your confusion over your identity could be considered a pre-existing condition.
Uh-oh. That means that I won't be able to afford health care.
That's right. Last week, the House of Representatives, the United States Congress, voted to take health care away from some 24 million people.
Oh, surely not.
Oh, surely. Oh, they did. You see, well, let's talk about this for just a minute. The American Health Care Act made its way through the House last week, as I just mentioned. This is the Republicans' big attempt to undo the Affordable Care Act passed under President Obama. Now, we've been over this piece of legislation many times on this program. We've all come to accept the fact that while it's certainly not a perfect remedy for for America's ills, so to speak.
As it were,
it is still a market-based delivery system for health care. And therefore is inferior to a government-run single-payer universal system,
mm-hmm.
like Canada has, like Australia has.
Like France has.
Like France has.
Like Germany has.
Germany has. But it's also a damn sight better than what existed before. Why do I say that? Because in absolute terms, many millions of more people now have now receive health care than received it before the American or before the Affordable Care Act was passed. So, not perfect, but good, but better. No longer, if Republicans of Congress have their way. This bill is a monument to human cruelty. That's not hyperbole. That is the truth. I'm saying this because there's a provision of this act that allows individual states to opt out of the pre-existing conditions clause of Obamacare. Obamacare was notable for a couple of reasons, one of which was, of course, that it said no insurance provider can deny coverage based upon a patient's pre-existing condition, whether that condition was pregnancy or cancer or what have you. You couldn't be denied.
I hate that what have you, too.
Yeah, well, that's the worst one.
Yeah.
What have you. Yeah. So that was one of the more notable parts of Obamacare, probably the one that people value the most. This new piece of legislation would allow states to opt out of that and use a number of pre-existing conditions as the grounds under which to deny coverage. I want to go through with you guys just a few of those pre-existing conditions now. Joe, I think you have a list, don't you?
I have a whole bunch of stuff here, but shall I do this?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to do this. Here's the first rule. Don't get sick.
Yeah, that used to be the rule before Obamacare. Now it's the rule again.
Well, and of course, the what's called Obamacare was a compromise which included the insurance industry so they wouldn't balk and spend a fortune blocking it rather than going to a universal coverage like all the countries we mentioned a bit mm-hmm. ago. So the notion of compartmentalizing services to the public that are absolutely necessary versus those things which are optional or can be profitable, that notion is gone. We have gotten, for the first time in my memory, an out-front fascist president who tweets, this is his intellectual level, who tweets his information and who is surrounded by the most reactionary elements of monopoly capital. Well, all right, never mind. Here's what the bill does. Number one, cuts $880 billion over 10 years from Medicaid. Enough care for 74 million people, 14 million directly just knocked out of the system by 2026. It's going to be horrible. Then it cuts insurance subsidies, $300 billion less over 10 years for non-employed, that is self-buyers, and low-income people and the old who are going to be particularly hurt.
Yes.
Then, oh, that's just the beginning, it eliminates individual mandates so that there'll be less young and healthy people. Let me explain insurance just for a moment because I think people just don't get it. Insurance works even in the profit sector because there are a high percentage of people who never use it. So the distribution of the risk is spread very wide. Young people, healthier people, in this case, cover the costs by not using it so much for those of us who get old or get sick and need that insurance. Without that, it won't work. It cannot work, and it's not insurance. But people don't get the insurance concept. A lot of millennials, people say, I'm okay. Until their kidneys fall out or something.
Well, if you listen to the Democracy Now! Prior to this show, you would have heard a clip of Paul Ryan complaining about the Affordable Care Act on the same grounds that you just delineated. He talked about how Obamacare was a big lie. The big conceit of Obamacare, he said, was that young, healthy people pay for old, infirm people.
Yes.
Well, as you just explained, that's how profit-based insurance works.
Always.
Whether you're driving a car or owning a home or whatever.
Or dying.
Or if you're busy dying.
Yes.
And a lot more people will be busy dying under this legislation.
Well, this is an incredible piece of reactionary politics. It cuts pre-existing, this is the one you talked about earlier, pre-existing conditions, allowing... For example, let's say you have a child, unfortunately, who has a birth defect. This is a birth defect that can perhaps be surgically repaired or will need special attention. Not under the new plan. You could have possible denials of coverage. States are empowered to deny coverage. The plan, in all, $138 billion to help the states. Oh, yeah, that's okay. But actually, $25 billion a year forever is what's going to cost, and that's not going to be covered. Five, it relies on insurance let's just go to like a maternity care. Nope. Or cancer treatment. Nope. Everything possibly that can go wrong is essentially blocked at a great level. Six, it takes federal money from Planned Parenthood. This is you say, well, Planned Parenthood. No, what Planned Parenthood does in many, many cases is it provides women's health care and to some degree men's health care as a screening for cancer, all of this birth control, and to a very small extent, abortion. And this is 2.5 million people, most are women, and the committee to to look into this, all this stuff, is a bunch of old guys.
Yeah.
Old senators.
Yep.
To redesign the new bill.
Old senators have a particular skin tone.
Well, white. Yes. White old senators.
Yeah, making decisions about the health of women and poor people.
And with shriveled you-know-whats.
I don't know what.
But best not to know what.
That would, you know, now be a pre-existing condition. Now, we must emphasize that this legislation has not been enacted into law. It still has to pass through the Senate, and it still has to be signed by the president.
Well, it has to pass through the Senate, come back to for reconciliation with the House, and then go to the president.
Right, exactly.
Who'll tweet the answer.
The forecast for its health in the Senate, so to speak, are dim. It's not expected to pass the Senate.
Oh, I don't
a lot
trust
of people
it.
Think that this piece of legislation was crafted and it passed by the House in the full expectation that it would not pass the Senate, so that those Congress critters who voted for it would have some political cover because it wouldn't actually be enacted into law. But this thing, I'm going to read from Paul Waldman writing in the Washington Post. "I won't mince words," he writes. "The health care bill that the House of Representatives passed this afternoon," this was last week, "in an incredibly narrow 217 to 213 vote, is not just wrong or misguided or problematic or foolish. It is an abomination. If there has been a piece of legislation in our lifetimes that boiled over with as much malice and indifference to human suffering, I can't recall what it might have been. And every member of the House who voted for it must be held accountable."
Yeah.
And he's right. He's right. By signing this, or by voting for this law, every Republican congressperson, and there was not a single Democrat who voted for this, every Republican congressperson just created a very effective campaign ad to be used against them in the next election.
This is all very depressing because what at least I'm seeing overall in every area, in every sphere of the public world and the private world is moving, we used to say moving to the right. It's not moving to the right. It's moving to fascism, to an actual system where we make wars to pay for our costs, which are then carried by ordinary people in their taxes. We are creating a system that silences dissent, that does everything it can to create the conditions of fascism without a great leader. Well, unless you consider Trump a great leader.
Now, I want to be very clear about what this bill would mean if it were to be passed into law. We mentioned that it would reestablish pre-existing conditions as a grounds for denial of coverage, right?
Oh, yeah.
What might those pre-existing conditions be? Well, the Kaiser Family Foundation has come up with a running list. Here's just a few of them. Diabetes, lupus, cancer, epilepsy, pregnancy, or even being together with a pregnant partner if the insured party is a man. Injuries sustained from sexual assault or domestic violence. Think about that for a second. That means if you are raped and beaten and you try to go get taken care of, you can be denied. I'm sorry, miss.
Or mister. Let's make clear about rape.
Okay, fine.
No, I think it's okay. Important.
For the important. tiny fraction of rape victims who are men, yes. Okay. I'm sorry, if you had just come to us before you were raped, we might be able to help you. That's what this legislation says. As Mr. Waldman in the Post notes, that is an abomination. That is a monument to human cruelty. But it gets better. It gets even better. Because you know what this bill really is? And in addition to an instrument to inflict suffering and harm and death upon millions of Americans, in addition to that, it is a tax cut for the very wealthiest of Americans. Wrapped up in this legislation is an almost $1 trillion tax cut for the 1%, $800 billion. And you know what program is going to be sacrificed, Joe, to
what?
Make way for that?
What?
Medicaid.
Oh.
The very program that our president promised repeatedly that he would never touch.
Well, one of the interesting things about Trump, this is a quick aside, is he's a liar. He always lies. When he speaks, he's lying. There's never a time when he speaks that he isn't lying. And yet his naive or, I don't know what you call it, cynical or lost supporters love it. They love it.
They do. And I think at some level, they must love what this bill does. They really want to stick it. I don't know.
Stick it to who? Stick it to everybody.
I don't know. I'm really trying to figure that out. And that's why I brought the tax cut angle up. I think when it comes right down to it, there's a significant chunk of Republicans in Congress for whom cutting taxes on the rich is all that really matters. That's what they're there for. That's what matters at the end of the day. That's what this bill does. And the effect on people's health, who cares? That's window dressing. Who cares?
Well, anybody who gets sick is obviously a sinner, and it's a punishment from God.
Right. And we have certain people who are on record saying things to that effect, including the Vice President of the United States, who said, if you live a godly life, then you really don't need a doctor.
Well, I absolutely agree with that. And here's a man who's so careful in his personal life that he will not meet with a woman in a room without his wife present.
Well, it's because he's such hot stuff that women can't keep their hands off.
He's got a snake for a you-know-what.
Okay. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. So what is the motivation behind this bill? Well, I think it's cutting taxes for the rich. I think the whole human suffering thing is just something about which congressional conservatives are indifferent. They really don't care.
Yeah, I agree. It's essentially a shift of resources and a shift of wealth. Even more than we already have, from ordinary people, working people, unemployed people, young people, old people, sick people, shifting from them resources, which it seems logically a government would take care of, to the rich who need it much more because otherwise they couldn't buy a second jet.
I know. Times are hard.
Yeah.
Times are hard for the transnational ruling elite. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on KBOO 90.7 FM. You can also leave us a comment on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Abe and Joe, or on the Twitter machine at HonestAbe72. Let's go to the phones. Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Why is it that all of the liberal people in the world, and in this country in particular, can't get together and start their own health insurance company and do it the way they want it? That's what I can't figure out.
Well, the key might be in the question you just asked. Start their own health insurance company. If you start a company, presumably that company would have to compete in the marketplace. And the fact that there is a marketplace is the root of the problem as far as healthcare goes.
Okay, but I mean, like you're saying, young people need to pay for the old people. That's all well and good. I think there's enough young people in this world that realize what a crime this bill is. They would go in on a plan where they would pay a little extra so that older people and sicker people could get health insurance.
You know, I have to say this. Your question is answered by your question. The fact of the matter is that we are disorganized, into not organizing our culture at all. We look at France, which went through revolutions and turmoil. Germany, which had a horrible Nazi past. We look at all these different countries and what they learned. We, on the other hand, a genocidal culture that destroyed the Native American cultures that essentially used slavery to become very wealthy. We as a nation don't feel the pain. We as a nation have not had an existential experience which would make us realize all of that. And the one time, well, let me finish. Let me finish. Just a quick thing. Let me finish. Very quick thing. The fact of the matter is that we had one grand opportunity with the Great Depression and the work of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and others. And now it's all turned around in a horrible, horrible way. And it does not seem to me that there's much to stand in the way, particularly when people are so disorganized. It's very difficult to have organization spontaneously. That's
well, then, you know, maybe what's going to have to happen first is a great healthcare depression before people actually realize.
You mean a lot of people get sick and die?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically, you know, I guess.
They're already sick and dying. We have a lousy healthcare system, not technologically, but delivery-wise. We always have.
Why is it that you think that nobody can feel that pain? Because I think there's enough people of all ages in this country that feel that pain.
I agree with you.
Know that this thing is wrong and need to be able to just go out there and do it themselves rather than count on somebody like Rex Tillerson or one of those jokers to try to give them health care.
Well, you have a point.
Out for themselves and don't take all the money, and, you know, because that's what's happening is these rich people are taking all the money that needs to go for health care.
California's got single payer on the, it's going to be on the November ballot, I believe, unless I'm mistaken.
So.
Yeah, so I mean, people are taking matters into their own hands, and they're doing it in the case of California at the state level, which is a big enough place to make single payer work.
Yeah, I think there's just enough people overall in this country that if they had the choice for a plan like that, they would pay for it.
I think you're right. I hope you're right, and I think you are right. And this, this conversation we're having right now. And this piece of legislation might be enough to push people over the line.
Yeah, I don't think so. I have a very much darker view than perhaps is warranted. But when Trump got elected, I realized that many people were voting for him because they were amused, because they thought it was funny that there was this challenger, this grotesque challenger. And they didn't mind that he lied. I think they knew he lied. They don't care. They want to be entertained. Trump's strong card in the public mind is the fact that he could say to people, "You're fired." That's it.
Well, okay, I guess I've said my piece.
Okay,
hey,
thanks for the call, man.
Appreciate it.
And I think he's asking a very profound and serious question about the consciousness of the American people.
Yep.
Because indeed, if everybody understood the advantages of a single payer system, we would already have one. But we're totally befuddled, and we don't, as a people, understand that.
If there's any silver lining to the era of Trump and the Tea Party, it's that perhaps consciousness is being raised on a broad scale across the country about these critical issues. Healthcare, global warming, and so on.
Yeah. You know, years ago, I actually had a fellowship in medical sociology through Kaiser and through the federal government. And one of the things that Kaiser did was to create a population of poor people who could then use health care. And it was Kaiser health care. And the fact of the matter is that whatever else it is or isn't, it delivers the services necessary to the people who were needing it. At first, there was a huge run of poor people trying to get the care they'd been denied for so long. Gradually, it turned out that they have the same needs once their primary care is taken care of as everybody else. And whether or not you like Kaiser or whether or not you want a single-payer system, you should understand there is enormous pent-up need. And the United States is now a country where people die earlier, where people suffer a lot more, and where, in fact, denial of service is a common phenomenon.
All right. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program. Mark writes into the Facebook page to say, "How easy to become cynical. A cynic knows the price of everything and the value of nothing." That's a quote from Oscar Wilde.
Yes.
Yes.
He went to jail.
He goes on to say, Mark does, "In a time of banditry, foxes and wolves are dressed up as grandmothers. The health secretary says cutting Medicaid nearly $1 trillion won't hurt, and the budget secretary says cutting school lunches won't hurt the needy. Progressives are fighting back. The EPA was only cut 1%, not 30%. California may be America's Saskatchewan with single-payer health care, and New York is now offering free four-year tuition."
That's true.
Progressives are fighting back. The problem is they're fighting back in those islands of blue on the electoral map, places like California, places like New York. Well, you know, if this bill were to be signed into law by the president, if it were to pass the Senate, then states would have the option to opt out of the pre-existing condition clause like we talked about. Where do you think that's going to happen? It's not going to happen in New York. It's not going to happen in California, Oregon, Washington, Hawaii. It's going to happen in Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas. All the usual suspects. This is going to hurt conservatives in their base. This Republicans are literally cutting their own political legs out from under them with this.
But they got God on their side.
Yeah. Yeah, this the sad irony is that the Confederate flag-waving crowd will probably continue to support them.
Yes.
503-231-8187. Who's next? John, good morning.
Hi, good morning. You have covered a lot of topics. Well, the healthcare one is definitely the primary one. From 1990 through 1997, I worked at a downtown hotel at the corner of Broadway and Stark, and every time I had an international customer, I would ask them how they liked their healthcare, and they would universally say that they really liked their healthcare. And then about 90% of them would say they had no idea how we did ours. They would look, shake their head, express utter disbelief. So that's folks coming from places like Australia or Europe who had universal health care. I have to confess that I do believe that Obama failed us here. I know, Joe, in what you were saying that he passed what he could get through. My personal belief is that he should have been willing to sacrifice his political future and to have jammed through single-payer when he could and had the supermajorities. And if he needed to be a one-termer, so be it, so that we would have had a system that the people, once they had gotten sunk their teeth into it, would not have been, we wouldn't have let it go. The Obamacare was flawed, and it was the flaws that made it allowed the ability for it to be repealed. If we had single payer now, we would never get rid.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. In essence, I think that part of Obama's legacy is a kind of desire to compromise and not have conflict if you can possibly avoid it, and that desire to be fully appreciated by people who both agree and disagree with him, may have been his tragic flaw. The fact of the matter is that they calculated, that is the Democrats, that they just simply wouldn't have the votes for a single-payer plan. I'm not sure that's true. I also know that during this electoral process, the Democratic Party did not emphasize specifically the basic things that should have been their platform. That left them vulnerable and weak. And then you have the bizarreness of the unexpected fascist entering the race and being very popular with a lot of people. One of the things you look at historically in modern times, that is the 20th century and this century, is that promises, however absurd, made by charismatic, however weirdly so, figures can actually dominate the political process, because Americans are not, as a people, very busy with politics in their minds.
That's fair enough, Joe. No, it's painful to actually to be aware. You know, I mean,
well, it's very scary. It's very, very scary. We're in a scary situation. I don't have a happy view of any of it.
No,
but,
no, I agree with Chris Hedges, and I imagine that you agree, too, as I believe that we're at the end of empire, and empires have a trajectory, and for whatever reason, no matter how much the artists, the intellectuals of empires say, you know, where we're headed for is disaster, and I think that's the reason why you say that you have a dark view. I'm sure that you and I would diverge on certain aspects of that, but we are in the decline phase of empire, and in that you wind up with oligarchic leaders, none of which know how to behave genuinely in a rational and reasonable manner, thereby speeding up the collapse of the empire. And I think that that would have happened under either Democrats or Republicans, or even under Trump, who I would agree is diagnosable with narcissistic personality disorder. it's the nature of the end of the empire.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Chris Hedges, because people out there should know that Chris Hedges will be in Portland speaking at a benefit for KBOO at the Aladdin Theater.
On the 20th and the 21st?
No, Friday the 26th at 7 p.m. And then with his cartoon partner talking on Saturday. No, I made it sound like his partner was a cartoon, didn't it? Oh, well. sorry about that. On Saturday the 27th at 2 p.m. And those are two opportunities. And you, all of you, ought to spend the money on that, because it's cool. Chris Hedges is cool. He is one of the most right-on figures in the modern world.
Hey, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate your input. Who's next? Leslie, good morning. Oh, all right, Leslie, give us another try. Who's next? Alicia. Did I say that right? Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, you're there.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I'm right there with you guys. This new proposed healthcare bill is just absolutely atrocious. It's an attack on, the welfare of the common people. Anyone who's failing to see that needs to go educate themselves and talk to some poor people. I just kind of wanted to share my personal story to see if it adds anything to the conversation.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm a young woman, and I just had a baby a little over a year ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And, I just kind of wanted to share what I went through, which was... the healthcare system by no means is perfect. And in fact, I wound up choosing to go an alternative route with having a midwife-assisted home birth. And something I want to point out with this is that my birth cost thousands and thousands of dollars less than it would have if I chose to have it in the hospital. And I was a low-risk, pregnant woman, so I was able to go ahead with this alternative option, and I saved the insurance companies a lot of money by choosing to go
this route. How
generous of you. Yeah, right. that aside, I hemorrhaged after giving birth to my son, which luckily the midwives who attend home births are capable of handling. However, if I was not covered by the Affordable Care Act and able to birth, whether it was at a hospital or at my home, I would have bled out and quite possibly died. And I may not have been here to raise my son. So that's how real it is. And for people who are calling in or people who are listening who don't think that the Affordable Care Act is good or necessary, it's like you guys are saying, it's still imperfect. It's still really flawed. But it is a huge step up from what existed before. And what's happening now is a major regression. And it's going to hurt a lot of people. So we need to stand up. And, yeah.
Well, yeah, thanks for the call. And fortunately, the committee to rectify this bill or make it fit in with the requirements of the Senate is a group of very intelligent old men.
Yeah. Well, apparently not that intelligent. In my opinion,
but
is a few
very old
intelligence, and it sounds like they are missing a big part of it, which is your heart. The people in leadership positions really... We need to be putting people in leadership positions who have compassion and who have experience. And obviously these guys, this is just, it's so old. These old white guys have been running things for way too long. It is time to change things.
Well, I'm so glad that you shared your story, because you're really driving home what this means in very human terms. And I appreciate that. And I'm grateful that you had the skilled care that you needed. Now, let's presume for a second that this horrible piece of legislation is enacted into law. Are you somebody who might lose your coverage?
Yes, absolutely. And that's really freaky. After my son was born, I had postpartum depression. And thankfully, I'm well out of that now, but I still see a counselor. And that's covered by my health care. And I'm a low-income person, so my health care is, through the Affordable Care Act. My partner needs that health care. My son needs that health care.
Right.
I know lots of friends and family members who need that health care. And if it's going away, you know, it is scary. I'm somebody who likes to be solution focused. So I'm doing what I can to push back against this and being a part of that community. But I also think that with all of this going on, it's time for us to have some very real conversations about being self-sufficient, you know, in the meantime, because we need to band together as communities and start, like, what's going on in Eugene with Occupy Medical, you know, free clinics. Anybody who's involved in healthcare or who cares, you know, we need to band together and create strong communities where we can provide at least the very basics to each other, you know?
You know, I think both of us agree with you. I also think that some interesting things did happen in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. The Black Panthers, for example, among other organizations, organized people's clinics and people's dental clinics and had some success. The response of the authorities was to put pressure on doctors not to serve in those clinics. I mean, we really are a society that is does not understand the division between that which is something that all of us should take care of and pay for through our government, and those things which are entrepreneurial and really make sense to be done by individual entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Listen, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story with us. And best of luck with your young son.
Thank you. Have a good
one. Okay, Susan is next.
Oh, hi. Hi. This is Susan, and I just call a couple comments. One is I really don't believe that Obamacare was as broken as we hear over and over again, actually on both sides of the aisle. I think when it was originally conceived, you know, we gave up the public option to get Joe Lieberman's vote, and that was unfortunate. But even in its existence, it's working for a lot of people. And the fact that if you live in Eastern Oregon, you only have one that's not true in Oregon, but in some places, if you live in rural areas, you may only have one choice of an insurance company. Well, you know what? You may only have one choice of a grocery store. You may only have one choice of you know, a gas station. Sometimes those are the kind of effects. And really, one of the things that I don't hear spoken of very much is that the original Obamacare included a risk corridor, which may have had some problems, but it was designed to acknowledge that in the first 10 years of Obamacare, there would be some adverse selection, and that's maybe not the best term, but meaning that folks that had been deprived because of pre-existing conditions of opportunities to have health insurance would be those initial folks signing up, and would take a while to have that, you know, kind of evening out over time. And that risk corridor paid insurance companies some of the difference of that risk that they were taking initially, and to help keep the premiums low. And it was actually Marco Rubio was one of the leaders in the Republican side that pulled those payments for that risk corridor up. So that, if it's not working because of high premiums, it's really the Republicans to blame. And then my last point is that you know, people criticize insurance companies, and some of it is deserved, but I think some of it is a bit uninformed, I would say. In Oregon, we're pretty lucky that most of the major insurance companies are in the category of not-for-profit, so they don't have stakeholders, shareholders. And if you look at, just look on the Oregon State Insurance web, the state of Oregon tracks this. What is the amount of money that they spend not on paying claims? So insurance companies spend about anywhere from 90 to 95% of the premium dollars that they get are turned around and spent on just paying the medical claims. So it really ends up being somewhere between 5 to under 10% is what's above that. And at one point when I learned that, thought, well, you know, if I go out to look for a charity and the charity spends like 85% of my dollar on, you know, the delivery of service, I'm pretty happy. So I just wanted to put that in. I think sometimes because of perhaps in other states or in other places, there may be more insurance abuse. I don't think that's the case in Oregon. So I'll sign off now and let you respond, if that's okay.
Well, hey, thanks for the call.
We appreciate the call very much.
Let's see. Della is next.
Katie, good morning, Abe and Joe. Thank you for the show.
Sure.
And it's really great to hear a ton more women calling in today. So two things I just want to talk about really quickly. The first thing, you're really going down a great path around law of large numbers for insurance, and that people not understanding that their car insurance, their home insurance, all these things are based on other people being able to be insured and covering risk for others.
Right.
Secondly,
yeah, shared risk is the bedrock of insurance theory.
Absolutely. Yeah. So just really touching on that point so people understand, I think, is huge. And then the other piece I'm hoping that you all will talk a little bit more about is the mindset of people that can say, yep, you're right, GOP or the other side, you can have insurance. I understand why you need it, but no one else does. And not even taking a stand on these folks having all this great coverage, but making sure other people don't. Thank you, and I'm going to sign off so other people have a chance.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the call. I think the concept of universal health care and universal health care delivery, which is very common in successful capitalist countries, mm-hmm. is we are, as a nation, in denial. We are the bastion of the most selfish and limiting system of capitalism, which is right now, as we speak, in every aspect, becoming more and more selfish, more and more limiting, and more bringing all the money to the top and less money to ordinary working people. You got to understand that to understand what's happening in America. Yeah. And healthcare is one major example.
Yeah, and this is not hyperbole. If you don't believe us, consider the fact that last week the House of Representatives voted for millions of Americans to have a premature death.
Yeah, but you know.
That's don't yeah, but you know me about this. It's true. That's what the denial of coverage means. It means people will die early from conditions that might have been prevented or ameliorated with regular health care.
Next thing you're going to say is that the tobacco industry hid the fact that tobacco was unhealthy.
That wasn't the next thing I was going to say, but yeah, it's sort of part and parcel of what we're talking about here. Why do we persist with the system we have? The answer is very simple. Because of profit, because of the profit motive. We've decided to prioritize the right of a certain segment of industry to make a buck on the delivery of healthcare. Other countries, even other successful capitalist countries, have a critical mass of people who decided that no, this issue is too important. We must come from a place of humanity and of compassion when it comes to the delivery of healthcare. That's why so many successful, rich, industrialized nations have publicized, have socialized healthcare. It makes sense. It's what great nations do. Let's go back to the phones. Houston, good morning.
Yes, it's Houston. Hey, I support what you're saying, and we'll be at the Aladdin Theater for Chris Hedges. One thing that you've not discussed is the poor health habits of the United States population.
That's true. We have not discussed that.
And it was highlighted yesterday on PBS News and NPR. They discussed a couple programs, one in Pennsylvania, a health care group there, and even a Harvard Medical Center, where they're developing programs that prescribe food rather than medications and all kinds of expensive treatment for pre-diabetics and diabetics. And indeed, at this point, the outcomes are better than taking drugs. So, and, you know, on the local level, people are kind of wising up, and how can we help people live more healthy lifestyles? Obviously, if we had a better healthcare system, it would promote and fund these kinds of projects, but nonetheless, it's still occurring, and so that, I think that's a positive trend.
Well, and I think that's true, and every time you eat a Burger McMac or Boonie, you are supporting a system that underpays and overworks employees and gives you food that is virtually designed to clog your guts and mess you up.
But you're absolutely right, caller. The fact is, and it's a travesty in this country, that the most readily available and least expensive calories are the least healthy calories. It's cheaper to feed your family at McDonald's often than it is to go to a grocery store and buy fresh ingredients and prepare a meal at home.
Well, and plus there are these vast deserts, particularly in communities of poorer people or minorities, where you haven't got a choice. You can't even find a fresh vegetable or a healthy meat or a good solid whole grain.
Yeah. Listen, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate your input. Everybody's been on point today. I'm really impressed.
we're right. That's why.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. And we're not always right, but we are today.
Yes.
Melissa writes into the Facebook page to say, please mention to your listeners that Healthcare for All Oregon is working on statewide single payer.
Yes. Thank you
please
for that.
Join
Thanks
us.
For reminding.
She says. Yes. And there's a website, hcao.org, hcao.org, single payer in Oregon.
Yes.
Oh, boy, I'm all on board with
and
that.
And, you know, they've been doing, I think it's them or their allies who've been doing these blues festivals every year that people attend. It's a long struggle to get a single-payer system when the vast propaganda, all manner of it, pours into us ideas of a cute little Snoopy dog or a cute lady pitching healthcare or other insurance, car insurance, whatever. All of it rigged to create a culture which is in denial about the realities of the situation of ordinary people.
Yeah. let's go to Randy. Good morning.
Yeah, got. Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show.
Thanks.
First-time caller. Couple quick points. I mean, lost on all this when people blame young people. First off, let's not forget that the median income, by all accounts in America, is about $28,000. So young people really don't have that much more money to try to rub two nickels together to make a quarter. So it's kind of hard to come up with extra money. And then back to the GOP's healthcare plan, they had always talked about the free market and kind of letting people shop across state lines, but magically we hear no mention of being able to shop across state lines. Imagine you live in Alabama or one of those southern states that is about to take away the pre-existing conditions. Well, wouldn't you think that maybe they'd let you shop over in Oregon to maybe get a plan that would allow you to have pre-existing conditions coverage, but no mention in their AHCA coverage. So two points I wanted to make, and just shows the irony of the hypocrisy in the GOP plan. But keep on spreading the truth, guys. I really appreciate everything that you do. Love the show.
Yeah, we do it because we're so well paid.
That's right. Brian writes in to the Facebook page, facebook.com/AbeAndJoe, to say, to put this health don't care non-system into a global perspective, I twice went back to Scotland for non-emergency surgery on hernias, and the round-trip airfare from the West Coast was much less than the one-way ambulance ride to Seaside Hospital when I collapsed with a bleeding ulcer 9 years ago and almost croaked.
Wow.
This eventually bankrupted us, and we had decent health insurance. One other thing, we couldn't get insurance after all claims were exhausted. One thing most people don't realize is that with universal care, such as in the United Kingdom, the administrative costs are 7% on average, whereas in for-profit systems, like in the United States, it's between 30% and 40%, much of which goes to pay employees to scrutinize bills to identify non-covered items. He's absolutely right. That's what happens in a for-profit health delivery system.
Well, it really doesn't. I mean, logically, reasonably, whatever your position on the notion of capitalism or free, so-called free, which it isn't, enterprise, you have to recognize that the physical reality of life from birth to death is going to involve expenses to keep you going, to keep your children going, to keep your household in any kind of reasonable situation. And one bad thing, a cancer or a broken bone or whatever, takes you out of work, takes you out of the ability to take care of yourself, and you're crippled in every sense, not just physically, but economically. And we pretend, we all of us pretend that we are gods and we'll never experience that. Well, guess what? We grow old, we have problems when we're young, we need care. Care cannot be profitable, it can only be compassionate. And that's the question.
Agreed. All right, let's go back to the phones. Steve, good morning.
Hi there, yeah. You've kind of almost touched on this before, and because I'm not a regular listener, you may have answered this question in the past, but it does kind of grate on me a little bit. 2000 election, 2004, this recent one, very close elections, which the Republicans apparently snatched from the Democrats. But there's almost no reaction from the Democrats about this. And I just, it's kind of a mystery to me.
Well, I have to cut you off because we're running out of time, but I think you're raising a question that we should explore at some future date. What exactly has happened to the Democratic Party, and what exactly is the Democratic Party? So I'm glad you raised it.
Yeah, well, at some point, I'd love to know.
Well, so me too.
I haven't found an answer yet, but yeah, so appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the call.
I think one important thing, just really quickly, is we don't have real political parties. We have a right-wing political party that goes more to the right or less to the right, depending. Right now it's moved into a fascist mode. But the Democratic Party, and we saw it in this election, seems afraid of taking on a social democratic position. And I think it's a real problem.
It is a real problem. And that tension needs to be reconciled sooner rather than later. If you consider a few things. That most Americans in poll after poll now support adopting a single-payer healthcare system. And the most popular politician in the country is Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont. These things suggest to me that the bulk of the electorate are more progressive than their representatives in Congress.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. And I think by the way, one of the things we have to, that's you and I and people at KBOO and in the progressive community, have to be careful about is not demonizing people who are overwhelmed by the lies and cheating and advertising and distortion and intentional militarism that characterizes the leadership of this country at this time.
Yes. And I do want to add a caveat to what you just said.
Okay.
Yes, the two major parties are far too alike, far more alike than we need them to be. But there are occasions on which the differences are pretty stark. It should be noted that no Democrat voted last week to take health care away from tens of millions of their fellow citizens.
Yeah, and I'm hoping people realize what's going on and throw these criminals out of office.
Yeah.
I mean, they, it's just incredible.
Everyone.
I mean, here we have an election where it was obvious that another foreign country, Russia, interfered in our election. We have a president who lies, has lied on every single issue, and we're seeing it fall out every single time. And we have we should have more knowledge as a people of the danger that this presents to us. I'll make a prediction just for the hell of it. War soon. Yeah. Already Afghanistan, by the way.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
Yeah,
and we also have a president who's turned the presidency into a personal money printing machine.
Well, yeah, you know,
family business.
They are totally cynical and money oriented and not at all interested in the welfare of the American people, no matter what silly things they say.
Susan writes into the Facebook page to say, regarding the AHCA, which is the bill voted on last week in Congress, then she defines it. The Republican health care plan now wending its way through Congress.
Yeah.
I am also distressed by the proposed cuts to the, quote, essential services, end quote, coverage.
Yes.
These care aspects cover such areas as prenatal care, labor and delivery costs, well baby and well child care, screening for disabilities and illnesses, and mental health services. Research has shown providing these services reduces costs and increases the overall health of the population. The party of 13 currently designing the Senate version of the AHCA has no female representation.
Right. I'm glad she made, we alluded to that, but I'm glad she makes that clear in her email.
There's just one more aspect of why this bill is such an abomination. This bill is cruel. This bill is hateful. This bill will literally make our country sicker and condemn people to an early death.
And the strategy now has to be to buck up and strengthen the willingness of the Democrats, such as they are, to fight this thing absolutely and not come up with some stupid compromise. My big fear is that in the end, they'll invent a compromise that will serve not at all the interests of the American people.
Right, because they will be pressured to be reasonable, to be the grown-ups once again.
Reasonable in quotes.
Reasonable in quotes. And the press will continue with their both sides are equally guilty narrative. Eventually we'll come up with some milquetoast, watered-down compromise that is nothing like what we actually need.
And even as we speak, the press, the broadcast media and the printed media are being consolidated in the hands of neo-fascists.
Let's
no
go
question
back,
about that.
No. Let's go back to the phone. Karen. Eric, I'm sorry. Eric, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Well, how are you, sir?
As a houseless person and a former mayoral candidate, I want to know, when are they going to stop these people from flipping houses?
Ah, this is another issue. We're not going to be able to answer that question. I'm glad you raised it. We will get to that issue within the near future.
All right, I appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks for the call. Who's next? Art, good morning. Or Bart.
Bart.
It's Barth, really.
Barth.
Oh, Barth. Sorry,
yeah,
man.
Welcome back, man. It's been a while.
No, well, I'm always happy to talk to you guys and the public at large. You had an earlier caller, a woman caller, who said that many of the health care agencies are not for profit in the state of Oregon and bemoaning the bias against them in general and insurance companies in general. But your Scottish caller, not caller, but emailer, said that the fees for healthcare delivery, the overhead, goes from 7% back in his home country to 30+% here. Well, even the not-for-profits are able to phase in their overhead and their costs. So even the not-for-profits pay some of their executives rather exorbitantly. They have a lot of people bean counting and a lot of overhead that could be streamlined. Social Security is roughly 10% overhead. Delivery of fees and billing charges is 10% of the total money spent. So a single payer would offer those economies. And I think that we could all use that money someplace else. So that's my two cents. And
hard to argue with that. Thank you, sir.
No, thanks for the call. I think it's really important to understand that there are two things driving what's happening right now in healthcare from the point of view of the Republicans and of the dominant party, therefore, in the government. The first is a transfer, a real transfer of billions upon billions upon billions of dollars from services to the American people to the rich who don't need it and who are going to get even more windfall monies. And this is the overall not so secret plan of the present administration. That's number one. Number two, there is ample evidence all over the world that a system can be well managed and effective in delivering health care and reducing illness and morbidities in general by having a system that is a universal health care system. These are truths, and we need to accept them, and we need to understand that whatever things it may present in terms of problems are resolvable with far less drama and far less harm to ordinary people, and that, in fact, this system is particularly hard on women, particularly hard on poorer people, particularly harder on people of color.
Thanks very much for the call. John writes in to say, it should be noted that every single rep who voted for the AHCA excluded themselves from it. Yes, that is worth noting. Well, thank you, John.
Yeah, and if you're a congressperson, your health care is great.
No, if you're a congressperson, you have Obamacare. That was one of the requirements of that legislation.
Oh.
That the people who passed it had to be served by it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that's not the case with this steaming dumpster fire of a bill.
Yeah, I like that you stayed away from the...
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, my restraint is admirable.
I think
things.
That's wonderful.
Yes. Let's go back to the phones. Who's next? John, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Love the show. You know, I'd heard earlier, Abe. Actually, I just wanted to echo one thing you had said, and because I think that's the truest point, is that even in capitalist countries where universal health care is operating correct, or at least operating, we are seeing it comes from an altruistic aspect. It comes from the fact that the people have gone together and said, you know what, this isn't a for money thing. We're not going to make money off of this. We're going to pay for it.
It's too
that's
important.
All it's going to do, it's going to be a thing for the people, by the people. And that's the thing. I seen somebody the other day, a meme, you know, somebody with a flag saying, I'd gladly pay a little bit more tax, you know, for my neighbor to have health care. And to me, I'm like, well, guys, we don't have to. That's not the point. That's what everyone wants. That's the stick and the carrot they want you to deal with. And that's not the case. The simple fact is we need to remove corporate America from America, and we will be much, much better off. And we've been shown that we can do it, right? I mean,
it's possible, and it really requires an organized effort of all the people all of the time to gain democracy. It's a participatory thing. And the tendency of Americans is, if they vote at all, they vote in a casual manner with a lack of information and a lack of thought. The fact of the matter is that working people voted against their own interests in this election, and it's a tragedy.
Okay, John, take us home.
Yeah, you guys, I mean, that's the real thing. How can we, in a country of 350+ million people, boil it down to two choices? That, to me, is the most amazing, ridiculous thing in the world. And it, to me, is obvious, then, that we are being manipulated solely to that point.
On that note, we have to say goodbye.
Sir.
We want to thank everybody for listening. We want to urge you to stay tuned. Remember, KBOO is your best news source for real and honest progressive information and the best in music programming. I can't mention that enough because it's really true.
Through a hole in the air. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy.